from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
As the nation pulls together aid for Hurricane Harvey's many victims, Catholics across the country are joining in prayer and support. Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, shepherd of the Archdiocese of Houston, gives the Register a firsthand account of the devastation, its effects on church property, and especially the people who have lost so much. Then we turn to Peter Jesserer Smith, who's covered this story this week for the Register. I'm Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host for Register Radio.
And I'm Matthew Bunsen, the Register's Senior Editor and also co-host of Register Radio.
Matthew, you know, this week the images of the flooding, the images of people who have narrowly escaped loss of life, and the devastation on property, and of course some lives were even lost. This was so hard for us to watch as a country. It's so sad. For me, it was way too close to home, as I remembered 12 years ago weathering Hurricane Katrina with my family in New Orleans. So grateful that New Orleans was spared, but, you know, just so deep in prayer for those people who are in Houston and other parts of Texas and the western part of Louisiana. This week you had the opportunity, Matthew, to talk to Cardinal DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, about this immense disaster. How was that conversation with him?
Well, the conversation was quite striking in the sense that here was someone who had been trapped in his seminary for a number of days, so trying to keep in touch with his very far-flung diocese. For people who may not be aware of it, the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston has more than 1.6 million Catholics. It makes up almost a quarter of the population in the area. It's also one of the most culturally diverse dioceses in America, with Mass celebrated literally in dozens of languages. So it's Catholic faithful, the some 400 priests, nearly 500 men and women religious, and all of the faithful in 140 parishes have faced a truly terrible situation in the last week. So when I had the chance to interview the Cardinal by phone, I started by asking him if he'd even able to get out of the seminary yet.
Yes. I got out yesterday, took a roundabout way to get into my office downtown. I would like to get around to some places. I'm probably going to have to wait still another day, or some places to get into is you can get into them, but on the way there you can't get in.
Understood.
It's that kind of stuff. We had wave one was all the rain. Wave two is now the flooding coming from rivers, reservoirs, bayous, all this kind of thing. And it could also be, and it is devastating. So it's tricky.
I can well imagine. Well, I'd like to just sort of jump in if we could then. I know your time
sure.
is very precious.
Sure.
Well, first, thank you very much. I know that this is a very difficult situation for everyone in the Houston area, and especially the members of the Archdiocese.
Right. It is challenging. Houstonians in general are resilient. The people of the Archdiocese are faithful and helpful and resilient, but this truly is a challenge.
What is the situation at this point for all of you?
Well, the rain and flooding was, I hate to sound dramatic, but it was devastating. I mean, this is a real disaster. And we have a way of phoning and a way of calculating how some the damage comes in, let's say, in terms of our parishes, a kind of a Crawford claim alert, we call it. And we already have had 40 parishes that have called in some damage. Some of it is minor in many places. But we have at least four parishes that I know of that, you know, are completely, you know, we're underwater. I mean, everything was flooded.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was St. Ignatius in Spring, a parish of more than 5,000 families and 1,750-seat church, and the whole thing is covered with water. So that would just give you an example. We have that in a few other places. We're very worried about the church in Dickinson because there's a school there as well, and we want to get eventually the school up and running or find a place to put the children. And this all has to be done, you know, in a few days. So we are challenged in terms of our infrastructure to a certain extent, though I think we can handle it. More important to us is the challenge that comes to people who are just really traumatized by losing their homes, losing everything they have. And that has happened in so many thousands and thousands of cases that I think we have to be there to assist them in pastoral care, and that's one of our concerns right now.
I can well imagine. What spiritual advice can you offer right now for those so catastrophically impacted by this hurricane?
Well, I had a statement there by accident the other day with our seminarians where I live at the seminary, and I said sometimes you think as though you're in the boat and with Jesus, and the waves are all around, and you're saying, Jesus, wake up. And I think this is what many are feeling. Where is the Lord Jesus? But he does rise to calm the waters. Part of it, how he calms, is exactly through his church and through the members of the body of Christ who are there to assist others. What is absolutely edifying in the best sense is to watch Houstonians and others help other Houstonians, whether it's volunteers in terms of rescue or bringing help, bringing clothing, bringing aid, and, of course, bringing comfort. And that's what we can do as a church on all levels. And I think that's how we handle people in the trauma, always the comforting words of Jesus. By the way, here in Texas, and this is not to vaunt, it's just to state, people readily speak their faith. You know, they don't. If people ask, well, you know, what's it like to be rescued? You know, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Well, okay, that's good. That's a first step. Then we can move with that and help people come to grips that the Lord does love them and exactly through the people of the body of Christ who bring them help.
Well, I was going to ask, you see in events like this a real Christian spirit at work in Houston right now. And this is the sort of thing that happens so often with massive disasters. That someone referenced the idea of a Dunkirk moment. It sounds like that's what you're seeing.
Yes, although I must admit, people in general in Houston are pretty friendly and helpful. It's the city that is the, if we are to believe Dr. Kleinberg at the Rice University, who does studies of what's happening in the United States, we are perhaps the most international city in the United States. I mean, even our diocese, you know, 1.6 million Catholics. I mean, we do 16 languages for Mass every Sunday. That's because that's the only languages we got priests who know. But we have far more than that. And our people are used to being together. You go to any of our parishes on Sunday, these huge parishes, and I go to them, and it looks like the UN when you're saying Mass there in terms of the people in the congregation. I mean, I hear people say, well, you know, our community is so monolithic. There's nothing monolithic in Houston. It's what makes the Archdiocese so wonderful, the people so good. I always put my pulse on it and say, it's alive. Now, it's not always meant occasionally governable, but it's alive.
Yes, I can imagine. Well, I've heard it said that the Archdiocese is, in a way, a snapshot of the church that's going to be in the 21st century.
I would say amen to that, absolutely, because that's what it is even now. Things people talk about that they do, you know, to learn how to be more multicultural. We don't say it to be proud. We just say, been there, done that. In other words, yeah, that's exactly what we have had to do and are doing in the Archdiocese.
So to give people a sense, how many different languages, but what kinds of languages are used for?
Well, it's everything from a dialect from Indonesia. We have a group of Catholics from Indonesia. And we have a priest here, his Divine Word Father, who knows it. So he does that language. And then we have, we do at least twice a month in one of our parishes near downtown, not only Igbo is done, but Swahili. They celebrate Mass in Swahili. We do Arabic, but we also do, obviously, one of the three major languages are English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. And I would say there is 80% of the parishes have an Hispanic ministry as well as an Anglo-English ministry.
And all of those communities right now have been directly impacted by this disaster.
Yes, I was talking today. There's a certain, not irony, but there's a gallows humor. I was talking to a relatively well-off person this morning whose house was really badly damaged, along with some of his friends and neighbors. And then you can go to another part of town and it's the poor. Everybody's got hit by this. Nobody was spared. This is an equal opportunity disaster for the people of Houston.
Well, there's been such an outpouring of fraternal love and generosity in the wake of this disaster.
Yes, absolutely.
What can the church do to help Houstonians sustain that spirit over the long term when so many people can't even go back to their homes and are going to be dealing with this difficult condition for quite some time?
First, pray and comfort them. Don't ever forget that. Then, within the bounds of what happens in the community, civic community, and what we can do is in our Catholic Charities and Church and St. Vincent de Paul Society, to bring good material aid, you know, for really basic things at first. And then as we move along, to help as they begin to regrow back and where they're from, where they are able to do that. So I think comfort, counsel, and physical aid is very important. And never forget to accompany it, as the Holy Father would say, with that spiritual presence that is so needful right now for so many people.
Well, talking about Pope Francis, he sent a letter to express, quote, his spiritual closeness and pastoral concern to all of those affected, as he put it, by the violent hurricane that swept through the states of Texas and Louisiana. How have the words of the Holy Father been received?
Well, since it just came about an hour or two ago, I can't register completely. We put it on our website as soon as we could, and you asked us about it, and there was one other interview I have asked us about it. But I will find out real soon, later this afternoon.
Well, when you read it,
I think they're going to be received so well, and with a great, great deal of comfort.
Well, and as a member of the College of Cardinals, to receive a note like that in such a difficult time, what did that mean to you personally?
Well, it's an indication always of Pope Francis. He loves the word to accompany, and he always spontaneously moves to accompany whenever he hears of a difficulty. And in this case, the tragedy goes across, you know, Houston through Victoria and all the way over to Beaumont and all. So it's a excuse me. It is a fine sense of comfort also for me as part of the college, and that the Pope is mindful of this neck of the woods. I think all of us would say, hey, the Pope knows we're around.
Yes, he does.
And that's good. You know, that's really good.
And for you, what will the next few weeks bring? I can imagine you're going to be very busy.
Well, some visiting the places hit. Some, I would call, overarching some administration for goods, you know, and this could be financially troublesome. So we have to deal with that. But I want to be around, and to overuse a word, you got to be a presence. I called about, in the first 2 days, I called about 40 or 50 pastors. I've been trying to call others just to call them and say, how are you doing? What's happening in your place? Mm-hmm. You know, and it ends up with a very, very kind conversation and all, but most of them would be happy to say, okay, at least he knows I'm here. And I think that's not unimportant. It's the presence.
Yeah, that accompaniment that Pope Francis talks about. Finally, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying all the time he's really sensitive to that issue.
And finally, I know that the USCCB, of which you are the president, has issued a series of statements as well as the call for a collection. What can average Catholics do at this point to help everyone who's been so impacted by this?
Well, certainly, again, in addition to prayer, there's something they might be able to give. They may love to contribute to Catholic Charities, for instance. Or this national collection is an excellent way, because part of it goes for the humanitarian relief to Catholic Charities and other parts to the infrastructure, you know, or to a diocese, whatever the bishop may think is necessary. And to allow that kind of twofold thing is, to my mind, important, because I never want to lose in Houston the humanitarian dimension of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's crucial, maybe the most crucial. At the same time, I also have needs in buildings, particularly in schools, that I got to take care of. So that's what that would mean.
Right. I can well imagine. Well, Your Eminence, I know that you're a very busy man in a very difficult situation. So I know that all of our listeners and readers are most grateful for your time. And please be assured of our prayers.
Sure. Thank you very much, Matthew. Thanks to all those who read. Please pray for us, which I consider most essential. And if you feel in your heart to some contribution, please do it. I feel awkward. You know, I'm not the only one. As a result of this collection, I'm particularly concerned about a little diocese like Victoria or like Beaumont, which has really been devastated when I follow the news this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. As I said, you're in our prayers, and all of us are concerned and praying.
To respond to Cardinal DiNardo's request for aid, you can go to www.archgh.org. That's the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston's website. And that is archgh.org. When we come back, we'll be joined by Register writer Peter Jessera Smith to talk about more aid for Hurricane Harvey's victims. This is Register Radio on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source. that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Pray. Let the presence of God just fill your soul with peace and joy. See, love takes away fear. If you love much, you're not going to be afraid.
No one appreciated the power of prayer more than Mother Angelica. Now, you can benefit from her own personal insights and prayers. Mother Angelica on Prayer and Living for the Kingdom. New from EWTN Publishing. Now available at EWTNRC.com.
I'll pray for you now, huh?
Hello, this is Bishop Robert Baker from the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama.
I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
Hello, friends. This is Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, joined by Matthew Bunsen and Peter Jesser-Smith, our Register reporter who's been writing about the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey and how Catholics are responding. Peter, it's good to have you.
Thanks, Jeanette. Good to be here again.
So, Peter, you've spoken with people on the ground there. How are they dealing with this?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is just the enormous generosity of spirit with which people in Texas and particularly Houston and the surrounding areas have really responded. The people I've spoken with, you know, time and after again, I'm getting stories about how, you know, people have just put their lives on the line to help the stranger, you know, help their neighbors, or to really treat everyone involved here as truly their neighbor. This is in many ways, I think, Houston's Dunkirk moment, if I can reference that event that was immortalized, that film that we just saw. There's just, you know, there are people who have been out there with their trucks, with their boats, just saying, how can I help? Apparently, I heard a story about one guy from Iowa came down with a boat saying people needed help and I wanted to be here. So there's a beautiful story going on in Houston, but I think a lesson that people are putting the needs of others first. It's not, you know, not to say that everybody's a saint,
right?
But that's, I would say, the real story going on down there.
Sure. You know, that brings to mind, I was in New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina, and that is one thing that we experienced was the outpouring of people's support and generosity. In fact, I called a friend of mine on the anniversary of Katrina. She was asking me how my family was doing now in Louisiana. And I said, you know, I am so grateful for you because I would not know you if it wasn't for Hurricane Katrina. She is someone who offered her home to me to live when I couldn't go back to my own apartment. She's one of my best friends today. So I hope that these examples of generosity actually bring lifelong friendships for some of these people, because it out of these awful things, great goodness can happen. Peter, you've been witnessing that, and that's a beautiful thing. And I think so much goodness comes also from the church responding. How has the church responded?
Well, I think the church has really come together and mobilized in a powerful way. You've got a lot of, I mean, the people I've talked to, you've got a lot of local people on the ground. Some of them have lost their homes, but they're coming together. They're helping their neighbors. They're asking, you know, what can I do? You know, one woman I spoke with said, you know, that she had been talking with people who she knew they'd lost their homes, but their biggest concern was, you know, how's our church doing? Is it still standing?
Mm.
You know, people have come together to pray the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet, sometimes using, you know, Facebook Live, or there's been a lot of social media use to bring people together to say, hey, this person needs help. And in fact, social media is actually going to probably be one of the heroes out of this, because just the need is just so overwhelming that it's really been a way for people to say, hey, my neighbor, you know, my social media neighbor, so to speak, needs help. We need to get help to them over there. So if there's going to be something that lowers the loss of life here, I think social media is playing a huge role in this, as it really couldn't in Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
So you've got that. People have come together to pray Mass out in, you know, in front of their, you know, in flooded parking lot. And a lot of people have put together, you know, really put a lot of hard work into sheltering people. The church, local church, is providing shelters to a lot of people that have lost their homes. You know, there's 35,000 people registered with FEMA, but that's just those registered. Mm. I don't think that includes just kind of the official count from all these other shelters. But other great things, the Knights of Columbus has been mobilizing to help people. I talked to one pastor, said these guys are going to be really, really instrumental. They are so grateful that the local Knights are there. They're going to be helping people put together their lives and their churches. And the Texas Bishop Catholic Charities, they've all mobilized. And that's the neat thing also that you're seeing is that Archbishop Gomez, the vice president of the USCCB, sent out a very impassioned letter appealing for the entire church to come together and help. And you've seen a lot of bishops from all over respond, asking for
absolutely
parishes to make collections and such. It's
absolutely
as
all
far
week.
Away as Alaska.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say, all week I've been receiving press releases from individual dioceses about collections and aid that they are sending. And Anchorage, Alaska, was one of those that I remember forwarding to you. So yeah, it's coming from all
yeah.
over the place.
Yeah, Peter. You've touched on the fact that there is so much support coming in. And in our conversation with Cardinal DiNardo, it was very clear that the sheer scale of this disaster is truly overwhelming. And what are some of the particular challenges that the church and the people there are facing?
Oh, well, gosh. Well, this is enormous. I mean, Houston alone is America's fourth largest city, and a third of it is underwater. And we're not even talking about the coastal towns, small towns and cities that are in similar, you know, rough shape. I mean, further east, you got Beaumont and Port Arthur, and they're saying Port Arthur is completely flooded. There are just Houston's a city of. I mean, we're talking about 6.5 million people in Houston. There's just millions of lives that have been affected. And, you know, right now that we've got a death toll of 38, which is probably, unfortunately, going to go higher. You know, we've got at least 100,000 destroyed homes. That number is probably going to go higher, let alone businesses. 1 million destroyed cars, probably. Dozens of churches damaged. Life is not going to go back to normal for a while. And for some people, it may be days. For others, it will be weeks. And still for more, it will be months and possibly even years. So we're talking about a large, large challenge. And the thing we have to hope and pray is that another storm, massive storm, doesn't hit the people of Texas while they're trying to recover from this disaster. The thing, this was really, really powerful and unique. People had experienced hurricanes. But the size and scope of this was something that I don't think people, at least the ones I talked to, expected. So there's going to be a massive cleanup and rebuild. But then
that's so
there's
true.
A lot of health issues that come out with this, too.
It's so true. The scale of this is larger than Katrina because the size of the population of the area affected. One of the things that we really can't forget is that, you know, whether it's 2 months, whether it's 2 weeks, you know, when people are getting back into their homes, the trauma doesn't go away.
Yeah.
I lived for a year. I was in Colorado just 6 months after Katrina, but I lived for a year in a somewhat of a depression because no one knew because on the outside I had to do my work, you know. But my heart was just so affected by the loss in Katrina. So we really have to pray for people. This is for the long haul. We really need to pray for their recovery and for peace in their hearts and that they know that God is with them, even in the storm. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Peter, what does this say to you? What do you think it says, I guess, about America at this time?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Jeanette. And this is one that actually, you know, people who had been going through this experience volunteered to me. But they said, you know, I think this actually, you know, in certain ways, you know, God's given us kind of a grace with what has happened here. I mean, it's not like God wills a storm, but God has allowed it. And it's a disaster, yes, but in a sense, it's actually kind of allowed the cameras to focus on and who we truly are as a nation. You know, mm-hmm. we're one American nation. And that's one of the things they were saying, is that whatever, you know, kind of the racial, political, class, economic, age divides, you know, that we got going on or that tend to get bandied about through the media, for the people living through this, that doesn't matter. At least not in Houston and the surrounding areas. People are coming together and they see each other as their neighbor. You know, one woman said, pointed this out to me and said, you know, nobody asked who you voted for when they rescue you
right.
on a boat.
Of course, absolutely.
And I think, you know, I think that's one of the things to remember is that, you know, I think God is, the cameras are not focusing on the extremists this time. This is not cameras focusing on extremists, you know, whether they're neo-Nazis marching in Charlottesville or Antifa protesters in Berkeley, you know, nearly killing people. I mean, the cameras are now focused on real people helping out other people and treating them as my brother
mm-hmm.
in a time of crisis. And you see journalists pitching in. You see everybody from all walks of life pitching in. And I think that's the story that you really come away with about who we truly are in a time of crisis. And I think that's the story that people in the church and throughout America should remember, and especially when they're looking at things at social media. It's like, no, this is a story we want. We all have to be that story.
Amen. Well, Peter, thanks for joining us. Remember, for more information on Hurricane Harvey and how the Register's covering it, go to ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.